Good morning, everyone. Before we get stuck into Psalm 46, let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are our loving Heavenly Father. You love us, you care for us, you speak to us. Father, we pray that you might speak to our hearts this morning through Psalm 46, that you might strengthen our faith and enable us to trust you through our present trials. Amen. Well, we have been and are going through a crazy period of time, and everyone has got something to say about it. If you wake up in the morning and turn on your TV, or listen to the radio, or read your newspaper, everyone has got an opinion. Everyone has got something to say. Presidents and prime ministers are addressing their nations, and we're all hanging on every word that they're speaking, hoping that they might give us some good news. Journalists are producing articles. Some are filled with doom and gloom, others with silver linings. And their aim is to keep us reading what they have to say. Celebrities are also speaking to us. They're on YouTube, either trying to encourage us or telling us to stay at home. Everyone has got something to say. There has never been a period in history where we have been so separate, isolated, and lonely. And there has never been a period like this where we've had so many voices clamoring for our ears. Well, our question is, what does God have to say? What does God have to say to us in Psalm 46? Well, Psalm 46 can be divided up into three different sections. Verses 1 to 3 speak about the chaos we might find in creation. Verses 4 to 7 speak about the chaos we might find as nations rage against each other. And verses 8 to the end speak about what God has to say about these chaotic events. The first two sections begin by introducing us to some sort of comfort, some sort of hope, before they introduce us to the chaos that we might find. In the first section, verses 1 to 3, we're told, as straight off the bat, God is our refuge and our strength. God is our refuge. It's in Him that we have protection. It's in Him that we have strength. He is the one who protects us. He is our refuge. We can run to Him. We find comfort and protection in our God. He is our ever-present help in trouble. And the language gives the sense that God is always ready to be found. He is always present, always ready. He is always there in times of trouble, ready to be discovered, ready to be called upon. God is there. He is ready. He is our refuge and our strength. As we find ourselves in distressing times, God is present. He is our refuge and our strength. We can run to Him. He is readily available to hear us as we cry to Him. Now, the psalmist gives us a bit of a corporate idea here. He's not talking about us as being simply individuals in isolation. He's talking about us being a corporate body, a fellowship. And so even though we are in isolation at the moment, we're in our own homes, we're not really meeting with each other, he speaks about us as still being part of a fellowship. And you can see that in the next line. What is his conclusion? If God is our refuge, if God is our strength, then he says, we shall not fear. We shall not fear. Now, there might be times where us as individuals begin to slip into feeling fearful, and that's okay. But here the psalmist says, you know, we shall not fear. And he's reminding us of these great truths and encouraging us to stand firm, to say to ourselves, these are wonderful truths, and if these truths are true for me, then we shall not fear. The Christian truths that we hold to are not simply truths we confess on a Sunday. They are truths that we're meant to hold to during the week. They're truths that we're meant to hold to and trust in through all of life's events. If we truly trust that God is there, He's present, He's our help, our refuge, our strength, then we're able to exhort one another and say, we shall not fear. Now look at what the psalmist here is saying. He shall not fear. Though the earth gives way, though mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though waters roar and foam. This is language of chaos. It's language about chaos in creation. Think about the last few years and all that we've experienced. In 2004, we had that tsunami. 14 countries affected. Over 220,000 people perished. We had that drought in Cape Town, where a whole city almost found itself without water. We've had earthquakes and volcanoes exploding, wildfires in Australia where 46 million acres of land was just burnt to the ground. The world we live in does seem to be able to descend into chaos at times. Well, what does God have to say? Why do we have to hear what He has to say? Well, remember, here in these first three verses, this psalmist is talking about creational language. He's talking about waters that are raging and mountains that are falling into the sea. He's taking us to Genesis 1. And if we go all the way back to Genesis 1, we are reminded that there God actually brings order out of chaos. God brings order. He doesn't have mountains falling into the sea. He has earth rising up out of the sea. He has chaotic waters being calmed, not so that they threaten everyone with death, but so that they give life. God sets up the earth so that we might have life and joy and comfort and find Him there in our presence. But how does God do that? Well, we remember that God spoke. God spoke and He brought light from darkness. God spoke and He brought order out of chaos. God speaks and He has an authority that rules over all of creation. Because we are reminded that He is the Creator. He is in charge. He is in control of all things. Everyone at the moment has got something to say about coronavirus. It's important that we are listening to God's word. It's important that we are finding Him as our ever-present help in these times. It's important that we are drawing comfort from God's word, because it's He who has the authoritative word. It's His words that are able to bring order out of chaos. Well, in this second section, verses 4 to 7, we're introduced to our source of refuge. And our source of refuge is being within the city of God. In the first section, we had those waters raging and foaming. Here we have this river running through the city of God, bringing joy, bringing gladness. What is the source of hope in this city? Well, it's God's presence. God is within her midst. God is present. So we have this picture of an idyllic city filled with peace, joy, and gladness, with God's presence. And yet this idyllic city is surrounded by nations raging against her. Well, where does help come from? Well, we're told, verse 5, God will help her at the break of the day. That is Exodus chapter 14 language. There we have God's people being rescued out of Egypt, being brought into His presence. And yet they're being pursued by the Egyptian army, raging against her, wanting to take her captive. Well, Moses tells us, God will be her help at the break of the day. And so what happens? Well, as Israel walk through those calm waters, God uses those same waters to wash away the Egyptian army, to have them dissolved. Nations have always raged against God's people, but their kingdoms have fallen. Consider the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian and Persian Empire, the Roman Empire. All these nations have raged against God's people, and yet they've all been washed out of history, dissolved. Well, nations continue to rage today. Russia send radioactive material into sovereign nations. Saudi Arabia simply kill journalists as if it doesn't matter. At the moment, we fear accepting 5G and using Huawei as a source. We've just had the Arab Spring, where masses of populations have risen against their evil regimes. Kingdoms fall, nations rage, and Christians face persecution. We face persecution throughout the world, whether that's physical persecution of being beaten or churches being built, or simply a suppression of the gospel, where we're not allowed to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Nations rage. They have always raged, but their kingdoms fall. What does God have to say? And why do we have to hear what He has to say? Well, take a look down to verse 6. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. God lifts His voice and the earth melts. Everyone has got something to say, but it's God's voice that carries an authority. God speaks and nations melt away. Yes, nations might rage, but God speaks and their threat melts away. In the first section, God speaks and the chaos of creation is brought to order. In this section, God speaks and the raging of nations is dissolved. In the first section of Psalm 46, refuge is found in the person of God. In the second section, verse 4, refuge is found in the city of God. Well, here in the third and final section, verse 8, refuge is found in an invitation. It's an invitation that the psalmist brings to us all, to those of us who are trusting in God and those of us who have not found refuge yet. It's an invitation to come and experience something that God will bring to completion. Well, what does the psalmist invite us to see? Well, he says, come and see. Come and see the desolation the Lord has brought on the earth. Now, immediately we place ourselves in the picture with being brought out into the battlefield and seeing hundreds, if not thousands, of bodies lying all around. But that's not the image the psalmist gives. We don't see broken bones. We see broken bows, shattered shields, broken spears, and burnt chariots. The psalmist invites us to see God's bringing an end to all wars. God breaks all weapons of war. God addresses the chaos of the world, and He brings an end to all of it. He addresses the chaos of creation, and He makes it all calm and still. God addresses the nations raging, and He forces them to submit to His word. God addresses the chaos of this world. Now, many of us will be familiar with some of the words of this psalm, and we will think that it's meant to be read and thought about and contemplated in silence. But that makes us forget that God's words here in this psalm are words that address an environment defined by chaos. And God's words are an authoritative word. He says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. God addresses the chaos and He brings it into submission. But as God's booming voice goes out into that chaos, it's a voice that we hear at the same time. It's a voice that we, trusting in God, hear. And the voice that booms against the chaos is a voice that comforts our hearts that might be in turmoil. Many of us are facing anxiety, difficulties, trials and struggles at the moment. Our hearts might not be in a good place, but God's booming voice addresses us at the same time, and it's comforting words. Be still and know that He is God. He is control of everything. He is sovereign over all things. Know that He will bring glory to Himself. He will be exalted over creation. He will be exalted over the nations. And His exaltation, His glory, will go throughout all the earth. In the book of Acts, we're told that the gospel, the story about Jesus Christ, the good news of His death and resurrection, the forgiveness of sins, that good news goes out to the ends of the earth. And as we hear that good news, we're brought into submission. God forgives His enemies, and he calls us to submit to him. I was once an enemy of God, and I heard his voice and submitted. God's voice goes out into the ends of the world. He speaks into the chaos that we all experience, and he calls for submission. And once we've submitted to God's voice, his words are a comfort. They're a comfort to know he is in control of all things. He is sovereign. He is in control. We can trust him. We need to hear his voice. We need to be comforted by his words. Jesus, God's word, came into the world. And there he was sleeping on a boat while the waters raged in a storm. The disciples woke him up and said, Jesus, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care that we are dying? And Jesus got up and he addressed the storm. He said, be still. And the storm ceased. The disciples were still filled with fear. And Jesus told them they should be filled with faith. Well, later on in that same section, Jesus goes on a walk. And he's called by people to a dead body, a girl who has perished. She's passed away. And Jesus speaks to her parents and he says, do not fear, only believe. Jesus then speaks to the little girl and he says, little girl, get up. And she's raised from the dead. Later on, Jesus' friend Lazarus dies. He's been in a tomb for 4 days. And Jesus addresses the chaos of death and he says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus walks out from the tomb. God's words, Jesus' words, address the chaos we see in this earth. His words address the chaos of creation and they bring order. His words address the raging of nations and he brings submission. His words address our hearts and that bring comfort. His words are words of life. And those words directed at death bring about resurrection. God's words are words of life. And that is why we need to hear what he has to say. Everyone has got something to say at the moment. We need to hear God's voice in the midst of the chaos we're facing at the moment. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that you are our Lord and Savior. Lord, your voice goes out through all the earth. Your Son, Jesus Christ, is proclaimed in the gospel through all the earth. You bring order out of chaos. You have nations that are raging, submitting to your will. And you bring life from death. Father, in this time that we're going through, in the chaos that we are experiencing, we pray that your words might be a comfort to our hearts and that you might strengthen us by faith, allowing us to know that we can take refuge in you and that you are always present and ready to be found. Father, we thank you and praise you for your glorious love. And we thank you for your Son who died for us, who offers us forgiveness and brings us into submission, but then grants us a comfort that we can face and have in all situations. Lord, you are wonderful, you're marvelous, and we praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Amen.